Let me invite you tonight over to the book of Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. Genesis 27, verse 1. Genesis chapter 27, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, asking for your blessing, Lord, for your great faithfulness and the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Bless the service tonight and the prayer time to follow, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I'm truly encouraged in that, and it's good for God's people to get together, especially for worship, and we thank the Lord for that. Tonight, the title of the message is The Importance of Finishing the Race by Faith. The importance of finishing the race by faith. And that's, of course, the race of faith that God has given to us that we might run well. So how are we to finish our race by faith and not by sight? That's a good question I want you to think about. How are we to finish our race by faith and not by sight? And hopefully by the end of the message, you'll be able to notice what's missing. That's going to be maybe a question that I'll ask you as we go through these different thoughts here. What's missing, and what is the key ingredient, really, to finishing your race by faith? Stop and just ponder that for a little bit. What is the key ingredient? And there can be defined two different ways, but they're both intertwined and they're both the same. But tonight we'll just take a few moments and look at a concern for the day of his death concerning Isaac here, and then the family blessing, and then Rebekah's concern, and then Jacob's concern. These are some things that pop up and stick out here in this portion of Scripture. So let's look at the first two verses, and I want to ask you, what's missing here in these two verses? Here, it's coming to pass here in the life of Isaac. Notice verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death." So what is it that Isaac is concerned about? Well, he's concerned about leaving this life. He's concerned about death, really. And maybe that's a little bit more of a thought, but really, as we get older, but really, none of us know our last day here on earth, do we? The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while, it's gone. And we think like we have all this time, and yet we really don't know when the last day is going to be. Now, I'm hoping for the rapture to take place in my lifetime. I believe that's going to be the case. There's some mixed emotions about that, because we'll never experience death. We'll just simply be translated, won't we? We'll just go from this part, from this life to the next life. That's all right with me. And some have said, well, listen, you know, you won't really have the full effects of the resurrection. I don't know about that. I know one thing we're going to know for sure. That's going to be we're going to have different bodies, and that's all right. So we'll praise the Lord for that. And I'm sure the experience, I don't think it'll be a disappointment, to say the least. But anyway, so here's Isaac, and he's concerned about his death. And I'm not blaming him for being concerned about that, but there is something that's missing, and he's communicating with his son Isaac concerning the family blessing. So really God's blessing to the firstborn. Verse 3 says this, "Now therefore," he says, "take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Now that's an interesting request if you stop to think about it. He's wanting to give him a blessing. What's he really concerned about? What's he asking for?
Well, he was wanting some food, right? Some savory meat. Now, listen, his eyes have waxed dim here, but needless to say, his taste buds, I'm sure, are still perking right along, which is a good thing, and he's enjoying that. But there is something that is missing here that is being overlooked, both in Isaac and certainly in Esau's life here. And then now we find something else as we move over here. He's talking about this food so he can give him the blessing. And now we find Rebekah's concern here. Look at verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock. Now, this is Rebekah speaking to Jacob. Go to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat it and that he may bless thee before his death. So there's some, shall we call them, deception going on there that's taking place right there. She's being dishonest there. But not only is she being dishonest, but what else is happening? She's encouraging Jacob also in that idea as well. So what's missing? There's something that's missing here, obviously, that's pretty important here that will enable us to finish our race by faith and not in the flesh. There's a lot of flesh going on right here as we consider this thought here tonight. And then now let's look at Jacob's concern. We've seen Rebekah's concern. Hey, listen, her concern was that Jacob gets the blessing. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and this is just conjecture on my part. God saw this taking place in eternity past. He wove his will in there. I'm telling you, I don't think they needed to do that to bring God's blessing. I think God will bless. But here's the thing. God is faithful even if we're not faithful. God is faithful even, and by the way, nobody is being faithful here to the Lord. They're all looking to themselves, and there is something pretty important here that's missing. Verse 11, Jacob's concern now. Notice what he says. And Jacob said to Rebekah, after he heard this plan, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Well, that's an interesting concern, isn't it? Well, it continues on in verse 12. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall see him unto him as a deceiver. Notice, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. What's he concerned about? He's going to be discovered. He's going to be found out, and he's going to get a curse instead of a blessing. I don't know that we're going to be able to pull this off, Mom. I don't think this is such a good idea. So there's something missing here. Also in Jacob's life. Look at verse 13, and now we find this work of deception taking root here. Verse 13, and his mother said unto him, Listen, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Isn't that amazing? Can we grasp the gravity of what's really what she's saying? These are people that have experienced the blessings of God. These are people that are of the lineage of Abraham, and Isaac no doubt knows his history, how God brought him forth. And Isaac started off well. Remember when he was offered up by his father to the Lord? He had faith. He laid on the altar there, and there were some good things. And he said, you know, I see the altar, I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? I mean, he knew what was needing to take place. And now all of a sudden, look how he's finishing up his course here. Not a good testimony for him, especially not a good testimony for the Lord. So there's problems here. So again, he says, upon me be thy curse. His mom said, obey my voice. Verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon his smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. So now he's got, they doctored this up, didn't they? She's dressing him up. She's putting these coats from the skins, from the animals, so he can be hairy, right? And so I want you to imagine this just for a moment, what he must have looked like. I mean, we don't think about that just for a moment, but I don't know how she got that to stay on him. No doubt she probably tied it on. But what in the world did he look like, right? Now, we laugh about that, and it's right because it is humorous, but it's a sad shame, isn't it, really, when you stop it? How foolish, really, to think that that's how we have to connive God. We have to manipulate things. No. But needless to say, he looked pretty foolish. And so this is all delivered to his hands. And verse 18 now, as we consider this, I want you to see what's become of all this. And he came unto his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am. Who art thou, my son?" Now, verse 19 has four lies in it in one breath. Watch this. And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau," there's one, "thy firstborn," there's two, "I have done according as thou badest me," there's three. So he says, "Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison." Is it venison? No. There's four. "That thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" So is there a little suspicion there? Whoa, man, I mean, they didn't have fast food back then. So something's not right here. And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Now that's important. Listen to what he's saying. The Lord thy God brought it to me. Is it his God yet? No, it isn't. Isn't that amazing? Was he brought up in the right home to get the right to understand the truth? Yeah, he was. That's important. Listen, may we not take these things for granted, that just because people are brought up hearing the truth that they're going to receive it. And so here's this situation in his life where he says, "Hey, listen, the Lord thy God brought it to me." He put a little spirituality in there. Be careful what we give God credit for. This is not anything to give God credit for, because it's an abomination, really, when you lie like that and credit God. I don't think that glorifies the Lord. So here's their deception. Well, where does that take us to? Well, now we go back to Isaac just for a few moments here. And again, I want to ask you, there's something certainly missing, isn't there, in their lives? Something's not working right here. And lastly, just for a few moments, we'll just take a look at these next few verses. And I want you to see Isaac's questions. Notice this. Of course, he says, "How did you bring it so fast to me?" That should have been a key, right? Listen, when we are in tune with the Lord, we will see things clearly. We won't fall into this lie here. So there's a lot of questions that we really can't draw from. But I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced that he bought this lie here. He favored his son Esau. And of course, Rebekah did Jacob. But notice, so he says, "The Lord thy God brought it to me." And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee." They knew that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Does he have questions or doubt? Yeah. And he's going to tell you why here in just a moment. But the reason why he's falling for this is because something was missing in his life. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's." "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And so I'm going to stop right here tonight, and I just want to give you, and I think you know what's missing. The truth is certainly missing, and the truth and God are intertwined. They're one and the same. And that's what was missing and void in their lives, and that's why they, I mean, there was no purpose, there was no need for all of this. God's mercy saw this in eternity past, and he used it because God's plan was that Jacob was going to be the one that he was going to use, right, to bring forth the tribes of Israel. But this was not necessary. God doesn't need to be manipulated. But what happened was, it was a sad state of affairs here where two parents were playing favorites. Now, I think they both loved each other. They, you know what I'm saying? I think they both loved both their sons, but they showed favoritism. And that's a carnal thing. That's not the right thing. We shouldn't do that. But in all of their lives, God was void there. They had a relationship with the Lord, except for Esau, that from what I understand. But I will tell you, I know that Rebekah and Isaac and Jacob, well, no, you see here Jacob doesn't quite have it yet, but they have an understanding of where their blessings are coming from. But what happened was they left God out somewhere along the lines. Isaac was a promised son, and he had many things that he could thank the Lord for. And now he gets to the end of his life, and not only were his physical eyes dim, but his spiritual eyes also were dim and not being able to discern. He was looking more at the natural things. Were the things that he was looking at wrong, the venison? No, I don't think those things in themselves were wrong, but he was missing his walk with the Lord. Now, we could look at it from this perspective too, and it's a good one. God was faithful to this family in spite of their unfaithfulness. But is that an excuse for us? Shall we say, well, look, it worked for them. Why not? Is that what God wants us to do? Or did he say, I've called you to myself. I've called you that you might represent me. And I'm going to equip you. And I have equipped you. And I've made every provision that you need not fall or fail. Not in your strength, but in mine. I have provided everything that you need to not fail. And that's what we need to look to. As we live through this life, as we walk through this life, we do live in the natural realm. We do have our battles, but may we run to the Savior for help when we're challenged or when we're tried, that we might rely on His strength and not ours. Don't sit there and think that you're going to have the victory. At that moment of temptation, don't meditate on that. Call upon the Lord and watch what He does. Oh God, this is what you said. I get to call on you, and you've promised to deliver me. Oh, so Lord, deliver me now. Right now, Lord, that I might remain faithful to you. Put my heart, my mind, my thoughts, not on the things that are passing away, but on the things that are eternal. Because one day, everybody in this room is going to look right into the face of their Savior. Amen. What will matter then? Nothing in this life. Mm-hmm. Nothing in this life but our relationship with Him and with one another. That's the only thing that's going to matter. Nothing else. All these little things are passing away, and may we not be unfaithful to the Lord in any area of our life. May we seek to finish the race, as Paul said, right? I've run the race. I've finished my course. May we run and finish our course that God has given to us by His grace and His mercy. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for your great faithfulness. And Lord, may we never use that for our own means or our own selfish desires. May we realize that you've given your great faithfulness, Lord, and everything you've promised and blessed us with, that we might experience your grace in a greater way. Bless the rest of the evening, and we'll give you the praise, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.